This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, would you hack your own body?
No. I have been watching the Frankenstein Chronicles, so I'm quite happy to hack somebody else's body. But
never
yeah,
on your own self, right?
Oh, good grief, no. I mean, it sounds painful.
It sounds painful, but it's a trend now. It's like it's a big thing. It's apparently in London, a group of body hackers, they got together in a small pub and they were putting forward their reasons for human augmentation in a packed audience, mainly under 35, so most of them apparently sporting tattoos and piercings. And they're saying that, putting a chip under your skin is not much different than a tattoo or, getting a piercing. It's just probably a little bit more bloody.
Well, yeah, I mean, putting a garden fork through your foot is not much different from doing those things either. But yes, as you said, it's a lot more bloody.
Yeah, transhumanism. That's the theory that the human race can evolve beyond its physical and mental limitation with the help of technology. We've done this on previous shows as well.
We have. I mean, I'm actually pretty interested in the idea of transhumanism, but that's something that's a bit broader, and it takes in kind of the ethics as as humans start to move towards being robots and robots start to move towards being human, and we kind of meet somewhere in the middle. But this kind of DIY body hacking just seems to me, I'm sorry to say, a little bit silly,
but so just to give you a bit of a background, so this group of body hackers or biohackers, one of them has actually 9 implants and strongly believes that what she does will benefit humankind as well as her own curiosity. But she admits it's painful. So she was quoted as saying that the magnets in her finger really, really hurt. They hurt so much that your vision goes white for a bit. It's really, really painful. And then you might be wondering, it's like, well, there's surely a good reason why you want to go through that pain when putting a magnet under your skin, under your fingers. Well, what the magnet allows her to do is basically to sense electromagnetic radiation so she could tell if a device is on or off, whether a microwave is running nearby or to identify where the power lines are, and all of which she admits she knows. That sounds a little bit silly, but it's not very useful. But she's hoping that, maybe someone with a lot more expertise could actually utilize that chip under her fingers for something even better. And then we're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I do understand that. But I've also read stories about other people, especially people who've had magnets implanted in their fingertips. And they're a lot more difficult to remove than they are to put in. So very often it requires a surgical procedure to have them removed. The issue with that is, one, the magnets lose the magnetism after a few years. Yeah. And one of the guys who did it said it made going overseas an absolute nightmare, because you have to explain to the people when you walk through the sensor that you're setting it off every time because you've got magnets in your fingertips. Now, that conversation doesn't go very well.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go, especially in AirPods.
So it's like, so the guy's like, you mean like Wolverine? No, not like Wolverine, not claws, just magnets. You mean like Wolverine? So you can see it's not really a very sensible thing to be doing.
But there are more than 10,000 people around the world who have had chips implanted in their bodies. It's far more mainstream than it is what we think it would be. But 10,000 people, still, it's a large number of people here body hacking their own selves here.
I mean, I do...
This is a trend.
Yeah, as I said, I do kind of understand the theory of it, that people want to try it. Now, one of the stories we covered, it'd be a few years ago now, was a French artist who...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who had an ear grafted onto... or a prosthetic ear grafted onto his arm. And he was planning to have a Bluetooth microphone embedded in it so that he could actually use it to hear, because it would then speak to a microphone in his ear. Yeah. Why he couldn't just use his ear to hear... rather than the ear on his arm.
Getting confusing now.
is anyone's guess. But, I understand that people want to experiment with this. They want to see what kind of technology can be put into the human body, what kind of materials react with human tissue. But I think these kind of DIY experiments on yourself are really not a very safe or practical idea.
Yeah, so the current range of implants include magnets that are installed into fingertips, and then there's radio frequency identification chips, or RFID, implanted in hands. So some of them, they use this for door access or for, you know, opening your house or even your car. There's even LED lights that you can put underneath your skin that could shine and be like, I don't know why you want to do that. It's like a human torchlight.
Well, again, you can be like Tony Stark.
You could do that too.
You know, you can have your chest glow.
Yeah, so chips that are used for opening doors, they generally carry like a unique serial number, and they can be read by a device attached to whatever you want. So you want to open your fridge door, for example, or you want to have multiple use cases for that one single chip, you could do it. You don't have to, you know, to need a separate chip. So there is some use cases, but like you said, I think it's so dangerous, you don't necessarily need that in the body.
And something... there are also health drawbacks to doing this, potentially. Mm. Now, if you're eating a breakfast sandwich right now, you might want to put it down because there is a growing trend for do-it-yourself fecal transplants. Now, I know this is a bit grim, but fecal transplants have been shown to help people with all manner of health conditions. Mm. They work with the flora in your gut. It can help people with depression and Alzheimer's and all kinds of conditions. But you have to be screened before you can donate this kind of matter to somebody else. But that hasn't stopped people from putting videos up on YouTube to explain how to do this as a DIY procedure. And people are doing it themselves. And the results are not always very pretty because there have been cases where I think there was one mother and daughter pair where I think the daughter donated to the mother and the mother became obese because the daughter was obese and that tissue was passed on. And those same kind of diseases, things like Parkinson's and lots of other conditions, can be passed on in that way. So it's not something that we understand well enough for you to be looking at YouTube because the videos say that, you know, you can perform your own fecal transplant in about half an hour.
Wow.
No. Right. Which when you consider that... I think I said on the previous segment, it took me an hour to change the saddle on my bike. You know, you don't want to be doing permanent damage to your DNA with a YouTube video. Yeah.
But for medical, like you mentioned, Parkinson's disease, there will be some use cases here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, it's a very useful procedure when it is done by medical professionals who have screened the donors for various conditions.
Of course,
you're just responding to somebody on, you know, on a Reddit sub forum. Hey, will you give me some of your? And that comes through the the post. And recipes for, you know, it's just a horrible, grim thought.
Yeah. Well, you know, Matt Eagle, he's the other biohacker that was part of this whole attendees in London. He has an implant in his brain, which is not a luxury as some people or the others, because he has it as a necessity to cope with Parkinson's disease that he had since he was a child. So he has two 15-centimeter electrodes that run deep into his brain, and they create two bumps on his head, which he affectionately refers to as the baby giraffe horn. So, and these implants, they are attached to a pulse generator in his chest, which disrupts the electrical signals to his brain, allowing him to walk. So, those kind of cases, I'd be like, amazing,
absolutely amazing. But that was most likely done by medical professionals and not by somebody who does piercings in their garage.
And has a Reddit account.
Well, I mean, you know, the surgeon can have a Reddit account. I've got no problem with that. But yeah, he certainly didn't learn about the technique from that. So there is great potential for the underlying principles of the biohacking technology, and it will do fantastic things for us. Yeah. But it's, again, you know, it's... You don't get people who say, well, you know, I'm going to amputate my little finger this week because I've been practicing microsurgery and I've looked at a YouTube video and I think I can sew it back on.
Yeah.
Not smart ideas.
Yeah, it reminds me of that dentist in Malaysia that learned it from YouTube and became quite a big sensation. And thankfully, though,
I was going to say he gave a lot of people some very large sensations. Yeah.
So for Matt Eagles, the guy who basically is curing his own Parkinson's disease, it's actually given him the confidence to pursue back his love for photography. He was an accredited football photographer at the 2012 Olympics, and most importantly, he also got married. So happy ending for him there. And I guess when it's for cases like that done in in a highly controlled medical surgeon or a professional, then go ahead, try and our best to experiment. CRISPR is one of the other gene editing.
Yeah. And there was the guy who used like the CRISPR kind of approach to try and put on more. He changed his DNA to try and put on more muscle mass.
Yeah.
Even he's admitted it's not really a very good idea.
Yeah. I'm all for curing cancer and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and stuff. We always seem like we're all just like 5 years away from something like this. We're 5 years away from a breakthrough or something.
Yeah.
Like.
I mean, the interesting thing about this, there's many interesting things about this, but I think the thing I like most about it is that these cures are actually drug-free.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at ways of using the technology to replace the drugs that we currently use to do these things. So that, for me, I think is a very positive step forward. Mm. But not in your garage, not in your spare room, certainly not in your kitchen, and certainly not anything from your bathroom.
Mm. Hey, it actually brings up a really good topic about what's going to happen to the pharmaceutical companies with all the drugs that they're creating. In the future, we don't even need pills anymore. They're going to go bust. So I guess it's going to be, it's opening a can of different worms now.
It is, and I just decided not to say the comment that I was about to say.
We'll go for a short break and we'll let all of the things that we can't say on air during the break, and we'll be right back with King of the Crowd, BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawk's King of the Crowd time. Matt, what do we have?
We have something that's very simple. It has the worst name of any product that we've had on this show. It's called the Sound Reactive LED Mask, which is... probably,
sounds like tags on Google search.
Yeah, it's the least fun name for possibly the most fun product I've ever seen. I mean, there's a bit of a marketing disconnect here, but it hasn't stopped it from earning over $300,000 today. Now, what these are is basically LED animal masks. It's a flat mask, and the picture on the mask comes to life when you switch it on. They're really cool designs. There's a bunch of things, foxes and panthers and all kinds of stuff. But the best thing is, as the name suggests, it's sound reactive. So if you take it to a club or something like that, the module will make all the lights in the mask pulsate. So different shapes of the thing.
Nice.
If you go to the Indiegogo page and have a look at this, it really is the most fun thing.
It's definitely a head turner in a party place.
Absolutely head turner. There's a gorgeous like fox character. There's one that's Barack Obama for reasons I can't really understand.
He's a cool dude, I guess, to party with. Yeah.
robot one, which is kind of funny. Yeah. And the price is really good. This is
$30. Wow.
Which is really good because it's just something simple.
They've collected over $300,000?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
This is actually the...
that's doing really well.
Yeah, it's the version 2 of the product. So they've successfully had like a basic product a couple of years ago. I think the company is from Canada. I don't think that has anything to do with them not being very good at the marketing side. But maybe it's just that Canadian understatement of calling it the sound reactive LED mask. This should be available by May, so it's not a long wait if you want to invest in this. It's not a lot of money. I mean, I do sometimes say on the show, wait until it comes into production before you put your money into it. With this kind of money, I don't think you really need to wait. I think it's a fairly safe bet. They've already...
Version 1 is out, right?
Yeah, it's out already, so they've delivered that to market already. So, if you're interested, the Sound Reactive LED Mask... snappy title, on Indiegogo.
And if you need a party to attend something like this, then IKEA and Teenage Engineering, they've teamed up with something to create a own party at your own home. So you buy a party pack from IKEA?
Well, this is kind of IKEA expanding, ever expanding its universe. You know, they're already making things like bikes, and they're making houses and flats.
Nice bikes, though.
Nice bikes. Mm. They're doing lighting systems now, which are really good, you know, like home hub systems and all that kind of thing. So IKEA's kind of really expanding its vision. So it's not really surprising that it wants to get into this kind of market for this kind of youthful...
House parties. Yeah.
House parties, you know, things that are kind of youthful and fun, because that's kind of the philosophy and ethos behind a lot of its products. And teaming up with Teenage Engineering makes sense because their products kind of have the same kind of thing. They're a company that specializes in making very simple synthesizers and drum machines and sequencers that look like pocket calculators, the kind of 1970s
really nice.
Pocket calculators. Yeah. So even from a design point of view, it looks like IKEA because, you know, all of their products look as though they're not quite finished.
Yeah.
You know, it has that kind of very raw, very basic, very minimalist ethos to it. They're planning to come up with, I think, 22 different products over the next year. The range will launch next year. A turntable, there's something that they're calling a choir, some kind of electric choir.
Yeah, it's an electric choir.
Yeah, there's there's no real details about the products at the moment, but it is an exciting development because it does kind of put these kind of two things together. So IKEA can be your one-stop shop. And IKEA is also threatening to move into music as well. I mean, that was one of the comments buried in the article. Yeah. They're not elaborating at the moment. Mm. So I do wonder if maybe they're going to team up with Spotify because, again, that's another Scandinavian company. Yeah. Or maybe they're thinking of doing their own music delivery service or artist development platform. I really don't know. Mm. But this seems to be the perfect springboard for getting into that area as well. Mm.
The collection is called the Frekvens, and it will consist product as the electronic choir, the vinyl player, party lighting, and then basically everything else you need to throw a really good house party. So you could just walk into IKEA and buy a house party for your own self. Apple has a huge problem. You know that big campus, that spaceship style headquarters in California? They have a massive problem here that the employees keep walking into the glass doors and windows.
Yeah, I mean,
so much so that they require 911 emergency.
Yeah, the architect Norman Foster actually offered this design to me first for Culture Pop HQ. When I saw the plans and I saw this kind of, you know, zero latency glass it is, I just said, look, Norman, this really isn't sensible. It's going to cause an accident. If you want, take it to Apple.
Yeah, so Apple Park is this gigantic $5 billion US-dollar four-story glass and metal circle building that's designed by...
Before you go any further, just let the listeners at home absorb the amount of money that was spent on this.
$5
billion.
Because it's a four-story glass and metal building. It's curved. There's no edges.
There are countries that have
you could buy a
GDP of less than $5 billion US dollars.
So basically here, the glass have been specially treated to achieve an exact level of transparency and whiteness. The doors reportedly have a perfectly flat threshold because, and quotes here, if engineers had to adjust the manner of them walking to the building, they risk distraction from their work. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
I never realized I walk differently.
I was going to say, there's just like a dead air moment there because it just stunned silence.
Right? Yeah. So, and Steve Jobs, he once said, actually, there's not a straight piece of glass on this building when he was talking about the whole idea. And this was a shot of building the best office building in the world. I guess not quite so, because you have employees now walking into these windows, walking into these glass doors and injuring themselves so much so that 911, like 911 have to actually be called up. They've tried a few ways to work around this. One, they put in sticky notes.
A $5 billion building with post-it notes to tell you not to walk into the glass.
But clearly,
stunning.
Clearly, they had to take that down because, you know, it's a $5 billion building here. You're not going to be using sticky notes to let them know, you know, this is a glass. Please don't walk through this. Apple reportedly have resorted to putting rectangular stickers on some of the glass to try and avoid further injuries. And they've started with the door. So I don't know that it is more than just.
Well, I think there's a simpler solution because I think Apple has two problems. I think they have the first problem is people keep walking into this glass. The second problem is they probably need some storage space for maybe a phone inventory that's not selling very well. So maybe they could actually stack up those boxes against this glass. That's two problems solved at once. And they don't even need to get Norman Foster Partners in to sell them that advice. They've just got it from us for nothing.
There we go. Tim Cook, please get in touch with Matt Armitage. You can just go on to culturepop.com and Matt Armitage will be able to help you.
I'm full of this kind of information.
What do we have for Geek Tunes for today, Matt?
Today we have the return of an indie pop band from London. This is a trio of women called Girl Ray. They specialise in kind of vintage-sounding dream pop. They sound a bit like Lush and the Cocteau Twins if you're somebody who's into kind of 80s and 90s shoegaze. But they kind of update it for today. This is the first single, I think, from their second album, which will be out very shortly. Mm. This is Girl Ray with The Way We Came Back.
Oh, so very nice that you've picked a trio of women because yesterday was International Women's Day. You're sticking with a theme. You're
absolutely
on point here,
Matt. On point, yeah.
Amazing. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.